my words did glow with the gold of sunshine. Yeah, my tunes were played on the harp unstrung. Would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it dear as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are
sign that you should be at church today. You rolled in here and got some Grateful Dead. You're welcome. Thank you. It was not my doing, by the way, but it was cute to see some of you just like transported back. A little more clear-headed, I'm guessing. All right. Well, yeah, your harmony is beautiful. Yeah. So we're looking at our power of intuition. And some of you, how many of you feel like you have a solid connection with your intuition? Pretty good, yeah. About half and half. And so the I forget what the Myers-Briggs, what the opposite of that is. Sensing versus, okay. No, that's not obviously in my notes. Yeah. So I've had to really, I am imploring this invitation to consider the power of intuition that we all have and that I myself have sometimes dismissed. It's kind of related a little more to our feeling nature, which I have also sometimes dismissed or distrusted. Anybody else have that? They really just, if I can think about it, you know what I like to do? I like to think about feelings. It's not the same. It's not the same, but it's a start. So in the Revealing Word, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore defines intuition as this, our natural knowing capacity, an inner knowing, the immediate apprehension of spiritual truth without resort to intellectual means. So it's through the power of intuition that we actually have direct access to the wisdom of God, to divine mind, to those ideas infiltrating into our mind. Sometimes called the inner tutor is our intuition, or inner teacher, quickens and illuminates the faith faculty and causes it to become activated to good. All that is to say, you know when you have that feeling of what is the right thing to do, even though it might be hard, right? It's you are empowering your intuition, your goodness, your godness. And it's our choice whether how we react to that or don't. Metaphysically, we think of intuition as a wisdom, as the wisdom of the heart. And it is very much surer in guidance than the wisdom of the head. When one trusts spirit and looks to it for understanding, a certain confidence develops in the soul. This faith awakens what we call the sixth sense, our intuition. And it unifies our thinking and feeling ways of knowing. They're not opposing each other. They're actually, our thinking and our feeling capacities are how, now wait a minute, you're getting ahead of yourselves. I get mad at them when they don't put it up. Oh, you don't have it up here. Okay, good. Sorry. Don't listen to me. They complement each other. It's the fullness of our wisdom capacity, our thinking, and our feeling nature. So I've taken a few notes. Now this is going to get a little heady before we get into our intuition. but I think it's important to recognize, to clarify for you, these four levels of consciousness. And by consciousness, we just mean the ways in which we know, the ways in which we become aware of our world, of ourselves, of each other, right? And so you can put that up there now. This is from an old metaphysics lecture by Reverend Ed Rabel. So this is not a newsflash, but you can see, right, these are four levels of our consciousness, how we use them. And sensation is, it's the framework, all four of these are really the framework by which we become aware of the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical components of our being and of our world. So when we think of sensation, it just refers to the use we make of our five senses in order to experience the phenomenal world. And sensation is our direct outer knowing, what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel. Thinking is the formulating process of mind known as the intellect, which translates divine inspiration into mental concepts. I'm going to go through this quickly, just so you get an overview, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more. And then feeling is the function of consciousness by which thoughts are empowered and made personal. I love that definition, right? We can have thoughts about something. Thoughts imbued with feelings have a lot more power. They are personally, we are making them our own. And then intuition, this fourth function of our consciousness, is direct inner knowing. It is the function of consciousness by which we receive divine ideas from divine mind. And so the purpose of showing you this is so you can sort of see the distinctions, right, and how we use them. And it's important that we use them, that we recognize the limits of each one, and that we have a balance, that we're using them in a balance in order to achieve sort of the fullness, the full result, if you will, of the effects and the capacity of our consciousness. So when you look at those, let me go to that again. When you look at that, do you have a sense of like, I feel more comfortable, this is kind of where I land more than these? You don't have to answer that. Okay, but you probably do. I'm guessing you might, right? We all use sensation. That's just part of being a human being. We navigate with our sight and our ears and that's all fine and dandy. We experience the physical world through these physical senses. And yet we know there is more to us than our physical body, and that there is more to life itself than what we can see, taste, touch, feel, yes? I would say, let me ask you this. Do you think culturally and socially, where do we land on those? Thinking. Yeah. I've been thinking about that. And I've been thinking about it and experiencing it from my own spiritual evolution, if you will. Many of you have been a witness to it. And how I've had to be okay with some of the things I don't know, that I can't know, even though it terrorizes me on some level. I want to just tell me what I need to know. And yet there's all of this other ways of knowing that I can't learn from a book or read you 17 quotes about, but that I can begin to integrate into my feeling nature and also to be receptive to what is trying to come in and to and through me. And when we are so fixated on these thoughts, we're not receptive. In fact, we can think, well, there's my intuition. No, that's just you with your thoughts getting louder and more demanding, right? So intuition really holds a level of peaceful assurance. It's not aggressive. It knows you, and it wants you to know you, and it is a welcoming, opening experience, not a demanding one. So I've thought about, you know, I'm hearing more and more, and I'm trying myself, I'll say for your sake, but I think it's for my sake, to embody, to call, to be a part of this rise in the divine feminine that is really being called forward to try to navigate and to rebalance. Because if we look at these, thinking is traditionally, and when I say traditionally, it's thought of as the masculine component of wisdom. Now, we all have them. It's not about gender. We all have these components, and we have all suffered by the stifling of divine wisdom, divine intuition and feeling nature. And so when we think about sort of culturally and socially through a patriarchal lens, that has been starved, right? And in truth, they're not against each other. They're part of a whole. So if we consider that intuition is the highest level of human consciousness and that it has traditionally been associated with femininity, with the divine feminine aspect of us, that has been shut down. I mean, how do I want to say that? I'll just say that it's stunning that in 2024 we can't enlist. I'm going to say something that's probably going to push, but women's own intuition in managing their own bodies. That's it's just a stark thing right there. And so it's been sort of demonized. We've also almost been taught to distrust our feelings, to disconnect that intuition. Can't trust that. And what I'm recognizing is that that is part of our divine nature. And it holds, just as all of this is, it's not against any part of it, but it holds the answer. It holds some of the solution to the peril that we find ourselves in here today. Not here, hopefully, but in our world. Would you agree? Yeah. And so, it's the good news and the bad news, because it's within us. And we can't wait for anybody else. That means we get to take charge. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We just sang that. And so to reconnect with our feeling nature, to revalue those and our intuition, to call that forward, to begin to trust that, to begin to center into that is so important right now. It's important for you individually, for me individually, because it brings me back to, like that reading said, back to the bigger truth of me. It's trying to guide me at every turn. And if I'm so fixated on, up here, I can't hear it. And in fact, when I do hear it, I distrust it. This starts to say, wah. So I think that really what we're experiencing is that all we have come to realize and to awaken in ourselves is being called upon. And we do that as we heal ourselves, as we face our own fears, as we face our own pain. You know, when I was having that anxious feeling the other day, and I was like, what is it? And there, you know, I'm dealing with my own, as we all are, right? Evolution and growth. And it hurts sometimes. It's like, I likened it to adolescence, when our physical body literally starts growing, breaking, and it's painful. What we were breaks. And yes, there's more to come, but it hurts. And even on our awareness, you know, I have this sweet teenage stepdaughter who has had this emotional capacity to say, I feel like I'm grieving my childhood. I feel like it feels sad not to be a kid anymore. And this is one who's been dying to be older all along, but now that it's happening, right? And so I just offer that to you because I know for myself, when I get to that point, I back up sometimes. Because it feels overwhelming, and it feels scary, and it feels sad. And even though I know that the growth is bringing me to something bigger and maybe better, there's part of me that says, nah, this is a little more familiar. And at the same time, part of me goes, don't do it. This idea that intuition is the highest level of human consciousness bears repeating. And that there's nothing wrong with all these other levels, but awareness is crucial. As we begin to see, I'm more than that, I'm more than that, I'm more than that, I'm waking up to the depth and the truth that I am as an expression of divine right here, right now. I don't know how to do that of myself. So I have to get still and turn within and connect. That's what meditation is all about. However you do that, you might journal, you might light some candles and some incense and have some frequency music. Have you heard about the frequency music that helps you, the tones? Yeah, I tried to get one today, but I couldn't figure it out. That supports your intuition, that supports healing, these sorts of. So whatever it is, to unplug from all that the world would have you fixating on and flambling through. I sometimes make up words. That was a bad one. Flambling. To return to that inner teacher. And, you know, that requires some trust and some confidence and some worthiness and all that other stuff. And that's what you get to be guided into and supported. That there is that within you that is completely worthy, that is completely connected and receptive to divine wisdom, to divine love. But we have to remember that, and we have to open up to that. Charles Fillmore said that communion in mind can be said to be without sound. It's the still, small voice. The voice that is not a voice. The voice using words that are not quite words. Yet it is the language, this language is more definite and certain than all of the words and sounds that we've come to know, because it has none of their limitations. And so, we can take some time now to really connect inwardly with sort of what I've said to you and the ways in which you connect with a deeper knowing and a receptivity. You know, that's the part that we work on, right? Spiritual teaching often revolves around surrender, being receptive, letting go of, I know what it is, I know who they are, I know what's going to happen, I know when it happened, they did that, I did this, and then it happens, and then it goes, and then it... Sometimes when we're receptive, we hear things we don't want to hear. Remember that whole thing about you're pointing at other people and those three other fingers are pointing at you? So life is our great teacher, and our relationships and our encounters with other people are most definitely the ways in which we really dig into that. So I'll just invite you to take a breath. Have an opportunity to connect inwardly now, ringing this singing bowl that is tuned to your heart chakra. So just taking a breath and inviting your energy and your attention to flow from your head to your heart. Relaxing your body to really let this idea that there is a place within you, within your mind, that has access to divine ideas, divine inspiration, can have an experience of divine love. And begin to let your mind fixate on that one idea. My mind is an inlet for divine inspiration. I'm open and receptive. To the work of the Holy Spirit moving in and through me, guiding me, supporting me. There is a depth to me that only it knows. And it is always wanting to show it to me, to guide me to that depth, to guide you to the depth of you. A depth that your mind cannot really truly conceive of. And so breathing into your heart space, really feel that. You know, as we said on Easter, sacred is this mind, for it receives divine inspiration. And holy is this heart, for it holds the love of God. We love because God's love is in us. And we have to be the ones to tell ourselves and remind ourselves and ground ourselves in this. So do that now. God's love is breathing and living through me, through this heart. Divine wisdom is making its way into my mind. I trust it, and I listen for it in the silence. And consider that this action and this process of connecting, of receiving and trusting, is behind the scripture in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the divine capacity within you and all around you. With all your heart, lean not onto your own understanding because it is limited, but in all ways surrender to this higher knowing, and it will make your path straight. So we move through this day paying attention to the ways that we are guided and supported, to the people that show up for us, to the random signs that tell us we're in the right place at the right time. And following our hearts and our minds, we discover a greater and greater depth, not only of ourselves, but in our world, in each other, in all of creation. There is a perfect pattern of divine wholeness. And so let's begin to tune our eyes for that, starting within ourselves. Do this at any time and any place.
In the stillness of this moment, I'm sure you already are, but I encourage you to continue with these practices that keep you steady and grounded, to support you in being a place in a space where peace can be sensed in a world that feels in such deep. You know, I think of people that don't have any real realization of all of these levels of consciousness or awareness of how they can run us when we're not aware. You know, so give people some grace. I'm not saying put up with BS, but give people some grace. So thank you for being here. Next Sunday, I'm thinking of creating a talk around the wisdom of Mother Earth, celebration of Earth Day. So that's what we'll be doing next week. If you're interested in knowing more about your spiritual powers that we're talking about, I've been using the book Divine Audacity, Dare to Be the Light of the World by Reverend Linda R. Martello-Witsitz in our bookstore. And I've also got a request for some of you. I've read a little bit from Mary Magdalene Revealed, and we're out of that in the bookstore, so I ordered some more. They'll be in next week. And what else did I want to say? Oh, here's what I want to say. Fellowship is really coming back to life. Many of you are staying and having a cup of coffee and a snack with your friends, and which is lovely, and bringing food, dropping food off, which is great, so thank you for doing that. And if you love that and it's important to you, you can also step up and say, hey, can I do the dishes today? Or can I help set up coffee? We have a few reliable volunteers who are here every week, and I want to support them in having, you know, the more hands, the better. So if that's of interest to you, let us know. We'd love a little more help with that. And now I'd like to invite us to prepare our love offerings, whatever you are giving in support of what we do here. All that we do here at Unity Spiritual Center Denver is supported by your gifts of love and donations and service and time and talent and all of that. So thank you for that. There are baskets in the back for your cash or check. And there are also a little QR code in your bulletin if you'd like to learn how to give electronically. It's kind of the way most of you do that these days. So thank you. However you are giving, we know that these offerings are blessed and they're given in love to go forth and do the work of good in the world. So let's bless our love offering together. Divine love, as in me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I receive, and all that I receive. I am thankful. All right, so let's see what you got. Now you've got an original song this time, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I remember.
This song was actually written by Mark. For those of you who don't know, he has a great band called Rapid Grass. Rapid Grass, it's one word. But if you like this tune, I'm sure you can find it on all the streaming platforms and all that good stuff. What's it called, Mark?
This is called His Life. He wrote it about our dad.
Walking down through the meadow by the river where the old man held her hand. He talked about his life up in the mountains and the river shone around the river bend. Well, he found a little darling in the winter and she showed him all that's best. So they took little babies by the river. Heaven knows that they were blessed. Lord, he shines on the double in this life, it seems. Sooner that you're able, let your heart fly free. He talked about his life up in the mountain. Well, shining on the riverbed. Well, he gave his little darling all she needed, and he gave his children all he ever had. And his crops yielded everything he seeded, and his footprint makes a story in the sand. Glory shines on the double in this life, it seems. Sooner that you're able, let your heart fly free. They talk about his life up in the mountain. They'll talk about my life up in the mountains.